Thank you, brother. We appreciate that. And Gideon's is a worthwhile organization worthy of our support. And it's that touch many lives all over the world. And that's good. Well, this morning, if you would please turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. This is a third in a series of messages about the life of Samuel. In our two previous messages, we talked about before Samuel was born, his mother Hannah was praying to the Lord and to give her a son. Lord did answer that prayer and gave her Samuel. And we saw last Sunday night in chapter 3 that Samuel was a young child ministering before the Lord. And here in chapter 7, Samuel is involved in a renewal of the children of Israel, a spiritual renewal of the Israelites in chapter 7. And we'll take a look at most of those verses. First of all, let's read the first six verses of chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while this ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the people of Israel in Mizpah. Excuse me. We see, first of all, in the first two verses of this chapter, that the children of Israel, their spiritual life had gotten down to the bottom of the barrel. We see that the Israelites had engaged in idol worship. They had turned their backs on the Lord. God was no longer important to the children of Israel. And we see that in the sad state of the spiritual life of the nation of Israel in these first two verses. And we see, first of all, in verse 1, or verse 2, that is, that the Ark of the Covenant was residing in Kirjath-Jearim for 20 years. So we see that the children of Israel had turned their backs on God for at least 20 years. And we know, if we read the Scriptures and the Old Testament, especially in the Old Testament, that God will not allow His children to be away from Him forever. Our God is a proactive God. He is going to take steps to bring His people, the children of Israel, back to Himself. And He used Samuel in this chapter to do that. And we see that God is patient. You know, God waited 20 long years for the children of Israel to come back to Him. And we see also at the end of verse 2, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The nation of Israel started having stirrings in their hearts to come back to God. They had been away from God and were idol worshipers for 20 years, and now they wanted to come back to God. And in a particular case like that, God will take a leader, a person, sometimes a group of people, sometimes just one person. He will take that person. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I was wondering where the water went. I said, I don't have any water up here. But Brother Jack brought it. I appreciate that. But, you know, God, the people are lamenting after God, and God is going to make sure that His people come back to Him. And we see further in verse 3 that Samuel exhorts the people. And in verse 3, and there were certain steps the people of Israel had to take in order to return back to the Lord. The first step was, in verse 3, Samuel said, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, with all your hearts. God is interested in the inward condition of people's hearts. And if the nation of Israel wanted to genuinely come back to the Lord, God will bring them back. But they had to be sincere. There had to be a genuine desire in the hearts of the people of Israel to return to the Lord. And of course they were. There was a genuine heart desire to return back to God. So that Samuel said in step one that you could return to the Lord with all your hearts. Number two, Samuel said that they needed to put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth. Now, the strange gods are foreign gods. That word strange can be rendered foreign. But the Ashtaroth was usually a wooden image of a female deity, usually worshipped by the Canaanites. The Canaanites are the ones who took the Ashtaroth and worshipped it as their god. And, I thought it was fascinating and interesting when I read this verse to know that the people of Israel were worshiping inanimate objects. That's the same thing for you and I to worship a table or a chair or a car or a tree. Can you believe that? The people of Israel would take this image, this wooden image, they use stone, they use metal, but they take a wooden image, they carve it, make a face out of it, put little decorations on it, put that idol down in front of them, bow down with their knees, and worship that piece of junk as God. That was their idol. And of course, an inanimate object can't see, it can't hear, it can't answer prayer. But the people of Israel had turned their backs on the Lord for so long. They had taken on the worship of the people around them, the nations around them, that they had started worshiping inanimate objects, the idols. And Samuel said that one of the things you had to do, if you wanted to come back to God, if you really mean business with God, you're going to have to get rid of those idols. Samuel also said, or there's another step, involved in coming back to the Lord is found in verse 6. If you notice at the end of verse 6, there's a phrase down there. The children of Israel said, we have sinned against the Lord. There has to be a recognition of and a confession of sin by the people of Israel. They had to admit that they had sinned against God. They had to come to God, and they had to be honest, they had to be open, they had to lay every sin they had out before the Lord. They didn't cover anything up. They didn't gloss anything over. They had to admit to God that they had sinned and turned their backs on Him. There has to be a recognition of and a confession of sin on the parts of the children of Israel. Samuel also said the next step that Samuel mentioned in verse 3, he said, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. In other words, seek after the Lord. You know, God wanted the total and unrestricted loyalty of the people. That's what the Lord wanted. The people would worship the Lord, only the Lord. They would dedicate their lives to serve Him. That's what God expected from the children of Israel. And if they took these steps, Samuel said at the end of verse 3, if the people of Israel were willing to take all these steps, at the end of verse 3, he said, He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. The Philistines were the arch enemy of Israel. They were oppressing the Israelites. The Philistines were intent on wiping out every single person, every child, every man, every woman. They wanted to kill every single Israelite. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to wipe out the children of Israel. The children of the Israelites, they needed some help. They needed somebody to help them to fight their battles. They needed protection from the Philistines. They couldn't do it themselves. So we see that if the people of Israel were willing to do these steps, take these steps, then God will defeat the Philistines and bring the children of Israel back to himself. And I think, you know, the application here, I think, is so clear to us as believers. We may think, well, Earl, you know, this is a new Old Testament verse, and this really doesn't apply to us in the 20th century, but I disagree. You know, we're just like the children of Israel, aren't we? We stray from the Lord. We want to go our way instead of God's way. We want to do our will instead of God's will. And sometimes we seek after idols. Now, I'm not talking about the inanimate objects. You and I, in our society, in our culture, don't bow down and worship inanimate objects. There are people in other countries that do that. But here in America, we have idols. We have entertainment. We have hobbies. We have pleasures. We have dozens of different things that can take the place of God in our lives. And these things on the surface may seem legitimate. These things may seem to us to be okay. These things may think, we may think, well, you know, it's okay to do this sort of thing. But at some point in time, those things, those activities, those attractions become more important than our relationship with the Lord. Brother, sister in Christ, if that happens, we're in trouble. And at that point in time, you and I must take steps to make sure that our relationship with the Lord is pure. It's clear that we don't have any distractions. That we don't have any unconfessed sin in our life. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we have unconfessed sin in our life, it will ruin our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Doesn't mean that we're going to die and be lost. But it will. Unconfessed sin in a believer's life will ruin our relationship with our Savior. It will damage it. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to look at our lives, evaluate it. Is there anything in my life that you don't like, that shouldn't be there, that would be considered idol worship or be considered taking your place in my life? If there's something there, then we need to take care of it. And that's hard. That's tough. I don't like to do that. I don't like to get before the Lord and ask Him stuff like that. I'm afraid to do that. It scares me, frightens me. But it has to be done. The children of Israel were put in a place after 20 years of turning their backs on God. They had finally wanted to come back to the Lord, but there were these steps that they had to take in order to return to the Lord. You know, they're Christians now. And you know who they are. You know some of these people. They're not here with us this morning. They have strayed away from God. They're going their own way. And we need to, if we have contact with those people, we need to reach out to them. If we don't have contact, we need to pray for them. I've known believers that used to be in this fellowship. They've been gone for 25 years. 25 years away from the Lord. And we continue to pray for them. And I know some of these people, and so do you. and the people of Israel had strayed from the Lord for 20 long, cold years. They had been in the wilderness for 20 years, and they finally decided they wanted to come back to the Lord, which is a good thing, but these are the steps that they had to take in order to return to the Lord. So we see that in verse 4, as we continue on in verse 4, we can see what the reaction of the people of Israel were in verse 4. The children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asheroth and served the Lord only. So we see that the people got rid of their idols. They returned to the Lord. And, you know, God is pleased, always pleased with that. And in order to get rid of the idols, I don't know, maybe they piled them up in a huge pile and had a bonfire. Maybe they took their idols down to the Jordan River and threw them into the river. But in any case, they had to get rid of those idols because those idols were damaging their relationship between them and the Lord God of Israel. They had to be those idols had to be dealt with. They had to be put away. You got to get them out of the way. And that's what the children of Israel did. And in verse 5 it says, Samuel said, "Gather all the children of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." It's an interesting verse in verse 5, because we see another role of Samuel here in this chapter, the role of intercessor for the people. You know, the people of Israel were near and dear to Samuel's heart. He loved the children of Israel. They were his people. He loved every one of them. And Samuel was a faithful man. He was a man of prayer, and he would pray for those people. For 20 long years, Samuel prayed for the children of Israel. And, you know, when we pray for a straying believer, we're praying in the will of God. You know, the Lord wants to bring straying believers back to himself. People Christians who are out of fellowship with him. The Lord wants to bring those people back to himself more than we do. God is yearning for his people. God loves us as believers in Jesus Christ. He loves us so much. The love that God has, I can't put it into words, and I can't explain it to you. It's that kind of love. It's an overwhelming love that he has for you and I as believers. When we get out of the will of God, when we stray from God, we get out of fellowship with God, the Lord is concerned, brother and sister in Christ, he is concerned about that. His heart aches for us when we stray away from him. And the heart of the Lord God of Israel was aching for the children of Israel. He wanted them to come back to him so badly. And they finally did. After 20 long years, the children of Israel finally did. They came back to God. And, of course, during that time, Samuel was a prayer warrior. He was praying for his people to come back to the Lord. And we see in verse 6 that when the people of Israel gathered together in verse 6, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. One translation says in verse 6, "And they poured out their hearts in penitence as waters before the Lord." What that means is that this was an outward sign of repentance that was in their heart. The children of Israel weren't making a big show. They weren't putting on a phony face. They meant business with God. They were genuine. They were sincere. And what was in their hearts was coming out. They wanted to repent of their sins before the Lord. And you know that verse in 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. God looketh on the heart. You know, God, he sees our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. We can't hide anything from him. He knows it all. You know, we can't hide anything from God. And we also see something else about Samuel in verse 6, that he performed the role of judge in verse 6. It says that at the end of verse 6, "And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah." And we see also in verses 7 and 8, we haven't read those verses. Let's read verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, "And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.'" Interesting that word in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, "that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." That word "save" is the same word used for Joshua in the Old Testament, and it's the same word used for Jesus in the New Testament. The word "save" means Jehovah is salvation. Or somebody else put it, Jehovah saves. And the Lord, in verse 8, the Israelites wanted the Lord to deliver them, save them physically from the Philistines. But that word "save" can also mean something else. It can also mean that we want to be saved from the penalty of our sins. And that's what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. By His death and the shedding of His blood on the cross, He has made a way where we will be saved. God can forgive our sins, you see. And we see in verses 7 and 8 that the Philistines were bearing down upon the nation of Israel. They were coming to Israel, and they wanted to kill every single Israelite in verses 7 and 8. Philistines cried out to Samuel. And let's see what Samuel did. Let's look at verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Drop down to verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. So we see in verse 9 that Samuel took a young lamb. He sacrificed that lamb to the Lord and prayed to God. The Lord accepted that sacrifice. It says in verse 9 that the Lord heard Samuel. And not only did the Lord hear Samuel, the Lord acted upon Samuel's sacrifice, and He saved the nation of Israel. And in verse 13, the Philistines were subdued. And we see that the Philistines didn't bother the Israelites for a while. All the days of Samuel, all the days that he lived after this, the children of Israel didn't have any more problems with the Philistines, you see. So we see that God not only hears the prayers of His people, He answers. He answers the prayers of His people. And in verses 15, 16, and 17, we see something else about Samuel. If you notice verse 15, it says, "And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Beth-El and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all these places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord." Well, we see once again in verse 15 that Samuel fulfilled the role of judge in Israel. He was a leader. He was the leader of the nation of Israel. He wasn't a king, but he was the leader of the nation of Israel. He was functioning as a judge. And we see in this passage an interesting thing that Samuel almost single-handedly led a spiritual renewal for the nation of Israel. He was a judge, he was a prophet, he was a priest, and he was leader of the people. He functioned in all those roles. And I think it's something else we can see in this chapter that's interesting is one person can make a difference in the spiritual life of people. Samuel made a difference in the life of the nation of Israel. God took Samuel's life and used Samuel's life for the nation of Israel, for their benefit and for the glory of God. There are people here at Northgate Chapel, individuals, who have impacted this assembly for God. I look out upon and I can see your face. I know who you are. That the things that you've done here at Northgate Chapel have impacted the spiritual life of the people here at Northgate Chapel. God has used you to do that. And God will continue to use you. You know, one man, one woman can make a difference in the spiritual life of other people. But it can. It can. Samuel was a classic example of that. Samuel led a spiritual renewal of the nation of Israel back to God. Samuel wanted more than anything else for the children of Israel to return to the Lord, and he was willing to put his life on the line for his people to come back to God. That's the kind of man Samuel was. And what an example he is for us. Another thing we can see is that God had Samuel. He was the right man at the right place at the right time. You know, Samuel's birth was no accident. The fact that Hannah cried out to the Lord and for a son, God gave her a son. And as I've told you, as we talked about before, Samuel or Hannah had no idea, not a clue, that her son was going to be a great man of God and a great leader in the nation of Israel. The only thing that Hannah wanted, she just wanted a baby boy. That's all she wanted. She got more than that, didn't she? What a man. What an incredible leader Samuel was. What an example he is for us. That God would take one man, one person, and change the spiritual life of a whole nation. And you may say, well, you know, Earl, you know, my life is, you know, I'm not very important. I'm just a small, tiny little cog in the big machine here in the universe. And, you know, my life doesn't count for much. Well, you know, brother, sister in Christ, that's not true. You are important to God. God values you. And I've said from this platform on many occasions that God has a plan for your life. If you're still alive and breathing, God has a plan for your life. He wants to continue to use you for His glory. The thing about it is, do you want to be used for God like Samuel was? One person, one man, can make a difference. Samuel was that man. And he made a difference in the spiritual life of the nation of Israel. What a man. What a man. Now, I want to digress just a little bit. I know this morning we've been talking mainly to Christians, to believers in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't made that decision to believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that you do. I hope that you make that decision to trust Christ, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners before God. I think even non-Christians, many of them will admit that they're sinners. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. What the non-Christian, unsaved person won't admit is that the wrath and judgment of God is upon them because of that, because of their sin. But there's a way out. God has provided a way where you can have, God has provided a way where you can have forgiveness of sins, and not only that, but eternal life in heaven. And not only that, but a changed and renewed life here in this life. God can do all those things. He can forgive your sins, He can give you eternal life, and He can turn your life around right here and right now. God has the power and the authority to do that. But first, you must admit, you must come to God, you must admit that you are a sinner, you must believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross for your sins. And you must, by faith, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's very simple. But it's the way of salvation, the way of coming to God and having your sins forgiven. It's not hard. It's not complicated. But it was very costly to God. It cost Him the death of His Son at the cross. And if you're here this morning and you haven't made that decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that you do. I hope that you will. Because that's the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. And now, today, is the time to do that. And I pray that you will. Well, that's the end of our message this morning. We'll pick it up this coming Wednesday night. We'll continue on in the life of Samuel. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You so much for allowing us to be present, to hear Your precious word. We pray, Father, for our lives as believers, that You will continue to use us. Father, we pray that You will have Your hand upon each one of us this morning who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, that You will take our lives, that You would use our lives in service and for the glory and the honor of our blessed Savior. We pray, Father, that if there's one here who doesn't know You as Savior, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that You would speak mightily to that heart, that You would bring them in their lives to a place where they will bow the knee before You and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We pray for these things, Heavenly Father. in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much.